Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We impaneled four commissions right after Hurricane Sandy to look at the various aspects of the storm and lessons learned. They did extraordinary work, and I'd ask us to give them a round of applause now and recognize the chairman, who worked very hard.
Governor Cuomo from his State of the State address yesterday, and we're joined now by one of those chairmen, Judith Rodin. She's the president of the Rockefeller Foundation and co-chair of the NYS 2100 Commission. Dr. Rodin, thanks for joining us again. Welcome back to WNYC. I can hear all our listeners standing to give you a round of applause.
Well, thank you so much. It's the commissioners who deserve it, but the governor was right. Everybody did extraordinarily hard work in a very short period of time.
And one of the specific areas your commission examined was the state's infrastructure. Now, New York, particularly here in the city, is somewhat infamous for its creaky old infrastructure. Is that going to hinder our ability to make the necessary adjustments to be ready for the next Sandy?
Well, the first cross-cutting recommendation we made was that we've got to protect and upgrade and strengthen our existing systems. So as creaky as some of them are, and certainly 59% of the state's energy generating capacity and transmission facilities, about 84%, were put into operation before 1980. So obviously, we would anyway, even as an economic development play, be upgrading our energy. We're always trying to upgrade our transportation systems and the like. What we need to do now, and what the commission recommends, is protect those systems while at the same time really rebuilding smarter, so that when we do build and or rebuild in several cases here, we're not only replacing an apple with an apple, but we really have better options, more resilient alternatives. Alternatives that will give us better service when there's no crisis and can rebound more quickly when there is a crisis. And that's the framing for so many of these recommendations.
And let's get into some of the specifics. One of the more striking suggestions is for the use of inflatable plugs in subway tunnels. Have you seen these?
Well, there's a lot of experimental work going on. Yes, they're being used in a variety of countries in the world already, and in some places already in the United States for underground transit systems. So it's a combination of both inflatable plugs to keep the water out and also retrofitting waterproof vertical roll-down doors at the subway entrances together, and then installing mechanical below-grade vent closures to prevent water from entering the vulnerable stations. So the plugs alone are not enough, but the three in combination really, really can waterproof any tunnel.
Another of your commission's recommendations is the installation of storm barriers with movable gates along the narrows. Now, the governor, in the book that accompanied his State of the State, appeared to be kind of skeptical about hurricane barriers, saying they could cause more flooding and other environmental impacts. What do you make of that?
Yes, and our commission is not recommending doing it. Our commission is recommending a comprehensive study of the engineering and the environmental and the economic consequences of those kinds of barriers, although there are much touted barriers in a variety of places around the world, notably Rotterdam, a much smaller version in Stamford and the like. None would be of the scope and scale that would be contemplated here and that actually would be needed here. And so we don't have a current example of where it would be effective, and the engineering consequences of displacing that much water could be quite formidable, and so it absolutely needs more study. We are not recommending that kind of project without it.
I had heard one idea that somebody put out there, tell me if it was you, to instead of building gates like walls, to actually create man-made islands in New York Harbor. Did that come from you?
That was in an earlier draft of our report. What we didn't want to isolate any one particular, what we're calling soft infrastructure solutions. So if you think about what we could do, what the commission is recommending is a combination of both soft and hard infrastructure solutions. And it could be that kind of man-made island. It will be sand dunes. It will be oyster beds. They're a combination of relatively inexpensive, that is inexpensive compared to building this enormous set of gates that might be contemplated, that really will serve as part of the solution. And so both soft and hard infrastructure are going to be critical, and we think that there are some immediate vulnerabilities to our coastline. You know, we've been so damaged that we don't have the capacity to withstand a March nor'easter in many of these places. So we've got to get to work on the soft infrastructure pieces first.
Is aesthetics a consideration at all in that? Like, it might be ugly to put up walls around our shores, but it might be kind of charming to put up sand dunes or man-made islands?
Yeah, or oyster beds. You know, oyster beds are amazing because they not only create barriers, but they actually are terrific pollution filters. So what our commission tried to think about was aesthetics, daily use and daily benefits, as well as storm protection. And you know, Brian, when you talk about aesthetics, one of the things that we recommend in our innovative finance section is an infrastructure bank. And the reason, many reasons why we do that. One, we want not a project by project decision about what should get built with regard to infrastructure, but really an overall set of plans that create a system of resilient infrastructure, but also because we think an infrastructure bank could demand both design principles and value engineering to these projects so that we could get, A, the most for our money through value engineering and the most efficiency, mm-hmm. but also think about aesthetics as we're doing some of these projects. We don't want to build ugly barriers or ugly transportation systems. We want things that improve our quality of life aesthetically, as well as make us more resilient.
I'm thinking about the idea of these man-made islands. We've been having a decades-long debate about what to do with Governor's Island. I can only imagine what would start if we have a few more islands to tussle over. But
well, that's why it didn't stand out in the final report as a major suggestion.
By the way, you've been using the terms hard infrastructure versus soft infrastructure. Where's the line?
Hard infrastructure really are those engineered projects, levees, barriers. It's exactly, literally what it means, whereas soft infrastructure are the kinds of things I talked about. But soft infrastructure, and this is really critical in the report, soft infrastructure also includes three other things. It includes integrated planning and criteria for decision-making for capital investments. It includes enhanced institutional coordination, and it includes improved data mapping and visualization and communication systems. All of these things are incredibly important, and they're soft because they're not physical, but they are essential. And so we need key actions to streamline our institutional structure on development. We need a kind of a program, and we think here it should be a tri-state program, to coordinate transportation investment decisions in a different way. Mapping. We've already got some very sophisticated mapping in New York State. It's called CIRIS, or the Critical Infrastructure Response Information Systems, but we don't use it as fully as we could. We need to use cloud storage more effectively. We need social media. We need much better flood maps. And we need ways for residents and communities to really give ongoing feedback on what's succeeding and what's failing, so that the feedback of those who are most impacted is really part of the development of the new sets of processes as they evolve.
By the way, were you serious that land use disputes or the potential for land use disputes was actually one of the reasons that you decided to downplay the idea of constructing new islands?
I'm kidding you.
Okay.
No, we just thought in the end when we looked at all of the data that new islands were probably harder to do and not as effective as some of the more restoring the coastline, the sand dunes, and letting more natural places for water to flow in. They're much more effective as the commission really deepened its knowledge of the existing data.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because I was kidding, but I wasn't sure if you were kidding.
No.
So as we run out of time and we have Steve Sweeney standing by, the New Jersey Senate president, to kind of follow up on this and talk from the New Jersey side about how he hopes that there will be more free beach access in New Jersey and post-Sandy reconstruction there. But in New York, what do you need to see happen for you to declare your commission a success?
As many of these things as possible being implemented, obviously. But I would also say much greater coordination and incentive structures put in. There's a lot of discussion about what to get people not to do, but we're talking in our commission report about a lot of ways to use both financial incentives, different kinds of insurance structures and the like, a smart grid that might have plug-in for electric cars, all of these things that people want as part of the incentive structure to get the changes that are going to be necessary. Again, there's a lot of behavior change, Brian, in all of this. It isn't only about money and hard and soft infrastructure. We're all going to have to be thinking differently and acting differently as a response to the 21st century challenges.
And we leave it there with Judith Rodin. She is president of the Rockefeller Foundation and co-chair appointed by Governor Cuomo of the NYS 2100 Commission post Sandy. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Thanks, Brian.
By the way, listeners, if you want to read all 326 pages of Governor Cuomo's briefing book, like if you really have nothing to do this afternoon or you're just that much of a policy wonk, the one that goes with the State of the State address yesterday, it's on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Also, we realized that yesterday was our fifth Twitter birthday. Our first tweet from the Brian Lehr Show was January 9th, 2008. We're now at 18,674 followers. So thanks to all of you who are part of our community. Here's to 5 more years of tweeting, at least at Brian Lehr. And this morning, the Oscar nominees got announced. We posted them on our Facebook page, and we're taking your reactions. Django, I knew this was a question of some mystery, by the way. Django Unchained did make it into the Best Picture nominee list. But if you want to see who got snubbed, if the films you were rooting for or the actors and actresses you were rooting for got nominated and post your reactions, you can do so at facebook.com/Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And when we continue in a minute, we will have the New Jersey State Senate President, Stephen Sweeney. We'll see if he's seriously considering running against Governor Christie this year, election year in New Jersey. And we'll also hear more about his proposal for more free beach access as part of rebuilding from Sandy. Stay tuned.